If you've taught and informed your audience to see the value of something based on how much time they get with you, you're going to be in golden handcuffs to your own business eventually. So we want to focus more on the outcomes, the takeaways, the accelerated path.
Plug into the mind of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I am very excited about the conversation we're going to have today because not only all of you listeners are going to learn a thing or two when it comes to scaling your business beyond $1 million, learning the key tools and mindsets you need to have that you focus on will actually get you to cross that line and have so much more success because there's a lot of information out there. But what are the things you should be focusing on to get you to that level of success? Elena Ray is joining me. If you're not familiar with her, she's built a multi-billion dollar industry. She's worked on the corporate side with companies like IBM and Uber, but now is a best-selling author with Becoming Self-Made, has the podcast Million Dollar Spirit Business, shares her entrepreneurial insights, has her own podcast, helps people through her 8-week private coaching accelerator, mastermind, self-study course, and so much more. She has been able to rapidly scale her business beyond the 7-figure, and we're going to see what is that secret sauce, what can we learn. And one of the things that makes me most excited about this is I have a feeling I'm going to be learning a few things myself. Elena, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jason. You're too kind. I'm like pinching myself at that intro. I'm like, wow, we've really gotten to this point in life. I feel so grateful.
Well, that actually is an interesting statement to make because I feel at every step of my journey, I'm always looking ahead to the next milestone. And I kind of forget the little journey that I've already traveled. And I feel like if I've given you this moment to be like, oh yeah, I've done all these things, is that kind of the new cycle you find yourself in? Is like, oh my God, I've just accomplished these things where maybe like 5 years ago, I would have been like, I could only wish I could do that. And now you have your sights set on the next target. Is this the momentum right now?
Totally. I think that's a natural momentum for entrepreneurs. It's almost like I do things that I know other people are aspiring to do. And I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, on to the next thing. And just, I'm learning to pause more in the contentment, the satiation also of, yeah, I've gotten to the point in my career that I had set my sights on for so long and really relishing that.
So one of the things I'd love to start with is kind of an understanding of motivation and the why. Like you had some amazing, you know, you could say a corporate path, a career ladder. You're working with companies like IBM, Uber. That seems like potentially a place where you could even find yourself with some golden handcuffs if you continue down that path. There must have been a motivator. There must be a reason to go into this kind of path of being more of an entrepreneur. So I'd be curious to know, what are some of the motivators that got you into this direction and pivoting your life into building your own business?
Yeah. So I actually had a really interesting job in my 20s where I worked for a media company based out of Spain. This was in the sandwich between IBM and Uber. And they sent me to, you know, countries all over Africa and Asia and the Middle East, where we'd literally meet the president of the country and like make a pitch to represent their country. And so I learned high ticket sales, kind of selling media advertising to presidents and CEOs in these countries. But after an experience like that for 3 years, I was just not able to be a normal person. When the company is like, you're going to go to Oman tomorrow and meet the governor of the central bank and the president of Paraguay is going to meet you next week. And it's like, wow, this life of getting to be a global citizen, you know, we're just casually catching up about our lives in Bali before where I lived for 5 years. I've always just been someone whose heart is very captured by the world. And after I had that job, quite frankly, I needed to be in a position where I could say yes to getting on that one-way ticket and going anywhere. And when I went on my world travels and came to Bali at one point and saw the digital nomads with their computers at Ubud and stuff back in the day, I was like, that, I want that level of freedom. And I want to, yeah, just explore cultures deeply, live in, like, you know, we've gotten to live in Bali and experience the culture in a way that if you're just passing through for a honeymoon, you don't get that opportunity. So that's always been at the core of, I've never been driven just by hitting a revenue goal or, you know, I never thought I'd become a millionaire or a multimillionaire. It's absolutely blown my mind. But that passion ignited it. And so I've designed my whole business also around the lifestyle of, you know, having a good balance. I don't work more than 20 hours a week or 3 days a week. Everything is very precise and intentional. And I do work hard, but I know that what I do really works so that I can have, and also personal development, having lots of time for those types of things is really important to me. Mm.
You've mentioned how in the between those two jobs, you had a chance to travel and do what is a high ticket sales. And I maybe want to just throw that as an open-ended question for those listeners. How would you define what a high ticket sales is, and why is it so important to develop the skill to do that?
And it is a skill. And you know this better than anyone, because the whole topic of what you teach on. But I always tell people, you can be trained in this, and you must be trained in this, and you must learn to do it. So I actually got trained by a bunch of, you know, very... The CEO was German of that company. So there's a very strict methodology of how we would approach someone like the president of a country in order to propose a $100,000 or $200,000 media agreement where we're going to represent their cabinet and all this stuff. So it was very, I got thrown in the deep end, and then it did translate into the coaching world. But I'll say at the same time, you know, long before I sold my first $50,000 coaching offering for myself, because I'm sure people who listen to this might know it's easier to sell someone else. When it's yourself, there's a whole other level of like my ego and my identity and all this stuff is on the line. I don't want to be too pushy, but when it's something else, another product, you can do that more easily. But long before I was selling those kind of packages, I was still like, oh my gosh, is $1,500 too much? Is $3,000 too much? I had tons of that stuff coming up mindset-wise, even though I had been trained, you know, internationally to do those kind of sales. I say that just so everyone can have empathy for themselves as you're learning this. It's not something that you like flip a switch. Like my palms were sweating every single time I was in meetings like that. And at the beginning of my coaching career, there was so much doubt and imposter syndrome. And I chose to continue to master that skill and study with masters like yourself and get practice and opening my mouth and saying, yes, I have a $20,000 offer and here's what's included. And my like everything is sweating on my body, but we're going to do this.
You know, for me, one of the things I did early on was I actually was in real estate, right? So we ended up like buying, selling houses. I think I underestimate the desensitization to large numbers that that gives you. And what I mean is like you transact something that's a couple $100,000 and then you're like, okay, you've moved that amount of money. So now you have like less anxiety about how you have this movement of energy, like money being energy, right? And I think that being done in isolation, then going out and going into your own business and selling your own services, you realize these numbers aren't as big as you put your mind towards being like, oh my God, this is a big number. And it's funny that you mentioned that you've went out and got your training through mentorship and employment. And this is one of the, I don't want to say advice or recommendation, although it is, that oftentimes I feel like you need to go into a world like a career, a job where you can learn while making money to overcome resistance to sales before you even go into your own business. Now, I've seen a lot of people go straight into their own business because there's some other blocks, but I found that the path to breaking it down, being like, ooh, I got desensitized to large numbers. Ooh, I got a lot of practice doing sales on the phone and working for selling events for another company like Mindvalley, made it so that it was not as big of a leap when I started selling my own products and services. I guess I'm biased to my own journey. I'd be curious to know your path with you and your students. Like, do you recommend a lot of people to go and get experience on the job before going into entrepreneurship? Is there a trade-off?
I personally don't, because I train people in it, but I will say that whole like desensitization, I love that word, is so important, because the first time I was in a container where there was someone selling a $50,000 program and I was struggling to sell $5,000, that alone, when I got to really know that person and see what she was doing and learn more about her career, it also brought her down off this pedestal and was like, oh, I see what's going on and the skill and the mechanics and the practice that's gone in for her to have that. And it wasn't long after, it was probably max 12 months after that I sold my first $50,000 offer. And my clients say when they get into our masterminds, just being around other people who are like, oh yeah, I sold a $10,000 somatic therapy program and I sold this for $20,000. I've only ever sold for $5,000 before. It does become like, oh, this isn't a big deal. This is like marketplace It's just kind of what's going on in the marketplace. That's what I tell people too. There's just standards and pricing that people are accustomed to paying in the coaching industry. And it's your choice to position there and then message yourself there and communicate clearly why you're a fit for that level. But that there are all these levels of shoppers in the market. There's always people to buy a $2,000 offer, and there's always people to buy 20, and there's always people to buy $100,000. And it's your choice where you go. And like you say, there is training involved. You know, a lot of my clients are very intuitive, very creative, very spiritual. And there's so many wonderful gifts with that. But then there's also the tendency to think, well, I can just figure it out intuitively. I can just intuit sales, or I'm just going to be naturally good at it. Or they, you know, to some degree, they are really naturally good at it. But that's not enough. I always say then my clients, when they go through good sales, marketing, messaging, training, the business gets to feel very intuitive. They get to feel very in flow, but it's because their subconscious has actually been primed with good education and good practice and just like hours in the seat getting rejected and forming good content. And then it feels like you're in flow, but you don't start just like, oh, I'm going to, you know, see how it goes that way. I certainly didn't learn to grow a $1 million business just from my intuition, even though intuition is very important to me.
I find this is a very good segue into kind of two ends of the spectrum. One of them being, I'm just going to build this business based on intuition, go with the flow, and that you're obviously going to miss, I don't know if I want to call them shortcuts, but let's say best practices and things that can bring you a lot more results with a lot less efforts. So if you're completely intuitive and you're not listening to anybody else, probably causes some problems. I've also seen on the other side of the spectrum is like there's a lot of people advocating that it's like you just need to do these five steps. You just need to do these things. But then you have like 100 people that are all saying that all you need to do is their three steps, their five things. And it's like you go into this rigid other person's system. Matter of fact, it seems like you completely disconnect from what is even you and you just replicate someone else's system. And there seems to be challenges around that side as well. So where does that balance lie? And where do we see ourselves being able to find some success around these two extremes?
Oh, I love this question so much. I see this day in and day out. I'm sure you do too. I think the key to it is what I was sort of referring to before is that priming of understanding that we make decisions. And I believe our intuition comes from our subconscious. It's a mix of all the different life experience we've had, all the different people we've been exposed to, imprints we've had, conversations we've been a part of, tools and processes that people have shared with us. And so I think the more that you can go and be in those rooms and surround yourself with those people and learn a couple of those five-step processes and be educating yourself around finance and marketing and these topics that for a lot of my clients, at least, are outside of their core zone of genius. They've been off studying with personal development gurus for decades and immersed in, you know, very, very cool experiences that are not marketing and sales related, which is, you know, why we still have jobs, right, Jason? I think the more they can learn those things over and consistently over a long period of time, allow them to really sink into their system, then you can pull and kind of break best practices apart or take pieces of things and then intuitively make it your own. I know that's what I've done with a lot of things that I learned from my mentors with funnels and messaging and overall business strategy. I was like, oh, I really like that three-step process. Two of those steps really make sense for my personality and where I'm at in business. And the other step, I'm going to test some things. I'm going to experiment live in the market and get feedback. So I think there's this other element of being willing to go to market quickly, you know, rapid prototype an offer, or just get out there, sell something, see what the real people think about it, take clients really through it. And through that direct feedback, you're going to have a good loop to pull something else someone had told you that's like, oh, this is applicable in this moment. And now I'm seeing this and I'm going to, again, put my own spin on it. And so there's that dance between I have real knowledge and I'm in the marketplace and I see, you know, really what's going on and what people need. And I'm attuned to that. I'm not just dreaming up things on my yoga mat. And then yes, there is a way to really honor what I feel is right for the business that I want to be running. Easier said than done.
Well, that's exactly where I want to take it, which is, okay, if I'm listening here and I'm like, okay, I get it. There's work to be put into this. I can't just be, you know, go with the flow. I can't just brain dead follow something else without thinking. Work needs to be done. And so my question that I would love to ask is, when you work with your students and you're seeing the biggest blocks that come up, what do you think is the core of the work that someone should be doing to get them from having like, I can't sell anything, I want to serve, I love to serve, I think I can do great things for a lot of people, whether that's as a coach, as an entrepreneur, as a consultant, I want to serve, I'm excited about that, but I just can't sell, like I just can't seem to sell. What do you think is the core work we need to do to overcome that?
What are you selling and how are you talking about it? And that to me is messaging and market positioning. But the core of the work that I really focus on that people come to me for is that messaging. Because a lot of early stage people are, not only are they not rapid prototyping and they're dragging their feet, trying to come up with the perfect offer and just working on the sales page forever and doing market research for a long period of time and coming up with something and then going, I don't know if this is good enough or if it represents me just right or if it encompasses enough of my gifts. And so they get stuck at that stage. But more often where people really get stuck. And interesting, I saw that just the last 2 days, I had a client session with a woman who's brand new to coaching, and I had someone who's made $30 million in her business. In the sessions, they were virtually identical though, because they both had messaging issues where they were not really understanding how to communicate the value of what they do in a way that the people who need it most can understand. They're very often speaking in high-level expert language. They've been off with their gurus and their teachers, and they come back. And because these people are so intuitive, intelligent, they see what people need. But very often, the customer hasn't realized that even about themselves. So they're selling things that are going over people's heads. And so the sales process just feels clunky. They feel like they're convincing people of the importance of something, or they feel it's not correct that they feel this way, but they feel like I'm not relevant to the market, or this thing isn't marketable or profitable. It's too much inner work, or it's too intangible. People don't want it. But it's just because they haven't landed on that message that meets people really where they're at, that speaks directly to the language of their customers in the market, that's based on, you know, not just dreaming things up from the jungle, but hands-on in the real world type of a thing, and then positioning their message. A lot of people are speaking unknowingly to the most difficult segment of their market to sell to. They're positioning to customers that no matter what you're going to sell them at what price point, they're going to have so many objections. They're just looking to put the least amount of effort, the least amount of money and time into something. And it's a very different message when you speak to a higher echelon person. So I do a lot of training with people to make them aware of when they might be selling to just that difficult segment of the market. How can we elevate so they can start to get those $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 clients? And I've seen that in every possible niche you can think of. Like, it's not just business coaches that sell at that level. It's embodiment coaches, life coaches, relationship experts, personal development experts, everybody. But I find the crux of it and what I'd have people really focus on is that messaging. It doesn't matter how many platforms you're on, how much visibility you have, how many followers you have, if you're dominating on YouTube or going viral on TikTok, if you're saying words that don't motivate people to buy, it's all for nothing.
And so if I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly my problem right now, it seems like I can't get my messaging right, what does it look like when it is right? Like, how do you know that it's like, oh my God, I nailed it?
Well, you have like my client Rachel, who just DM'd me yesterday, and she's like, I did a masterclass, and right after I had five people book sales calls who are qualified leads, and she can tell right from the applications. That type of thing happens where your free content actually converts. A lot of people get into the syndrome of, oh, I'm putting out a lot of content and I'm giving away so much and I do these epic podcasts and I'm on YouTube and I'm teaching in masterclasses and I'm charging only, you know, $47 for it and people aren't interested in the 5K follow on or the 15K follow on. So I think when you actually get people biting very quickly from not a lot of content, when you can put out just a little bit, the right things in front of the right people. I had a client do this on LinkedIn. She's brand new, fresh career coach. She made one post on LinkedIn, 19 discovery calls from the messaging on that one post. That's how you know it's working. You're creating resonance. People feel you're relevant to them. You're painting a clear, colorful picture of the different situations or scenarios that they might use your work. You're not speaking in vague general terms of like freedom or alignment or connection or, you know, abundance. You're speaking directly into the everyday life of someone, and they connect the dots between what they think they need and what they're seeing as your recommendation for what they need. And those worlds are colliding. They're going, oh yeah, that does sound like an approach I haven't taken yet. I see the reasons behind it emotionally and logically. A good message will touch equally on both parts of those. And then they feel like uplifted by you too. I think a lot of people can notice in marketing, how do you feel after you consume someone's content? If you feel like you're scrambling and you're not good enough and there's so many things that you're missing or you're overwhelmed, that generally also doesn't lead to like making a buying decision or being a good customer. I find that we can do messaging in a way that leaves people feeling like, oh, there's hope for me. I see the path forward, and they feel good about themselves. They feel, yeah, they just feel empowered. And that kind of person is going to make a better buying decision and be a better client too.
Well, what I'm thinking about is for most organizations, if not all of them, there's always this kind of growth, which is like they call the hockey stick kind of thing, which is like slow, slow, slow. And then suddenly things take off. And that pivot point seems to be nailing the message. Now, you've already shared that there's a lot of things that might be bad ideas, such as like trying to just cook up your message in your own basement without communicating with others. It has to go out in front of people. It has to be tested. It has to be, you know, validated. And I feel that's where I'm trying to help as many people as possible to get over this, like, oh no, it needs to be perfect before you bring it out. Have you seen some current strategies that are very effective now of being able to put yourself out there? Maybe in a way that if I have a lot of resistance to putting myself out there, it's still an easier step to take that can start putting me in front of the people to measure if it's, oh, is this one's wrong? Okay, what could I do better? So I can at least have a habit or a cadence that gets me to have these little adjustments until maybe at some point I'll nail it, you know?
That's a little tricky to answer. I think typically with my clients, we'll pick one platform. We're not going to go out on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and LinkedIn and all the places. We'll pick one place. We'll do free marketing. We'll be very intentional. And so I think also not changing too many other things in the business is a good idea. Picking just a couple of variables if you really want to be getting your message right. Make sure that it's the message that's moving the needle and not changing your price and your offer and your marketing platforms and your overall strategy and your coach and like where you live and moving around a lot at the same time or doing all these other things. Keep as many factors as you can consistent. Adjust and tweak. But I would say one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is they quit too soon on a niche or a message, and they're changing too rapidly instead of moving in these little increments. And most of the time with people, we're making like a 1 or 2% adjustment that then suddenly gets a lot better of a response. But if you're swinging wildly and going, okay, I'm a healer, maybe I'll message to relationships for like 3 weeks and see how, if anyone buys when I do that, and then swinging over and like, it's not really about relationships, it's about the embodiment, and I want to talk about feminine energy, and then you swing over there and you only do that for 3 weeks. I think those are examples of what not to do, because you'll just get confused data.
Is there a length of time that you suggest for people to be kind of testing a certain message before they get some sort of understanding of like, yep, this is wrong, or no, I think I'm onto something, I just need to adjust?
It's a great question. I would say 3 to 6 months. But that also is provided that you're doing, you know, the consistent business strategies, that you're consistently visible, that you're doing masterclasses, that you're growing your email list, that you're taking all the other actions that would support that niche and that message to be successful. And just for anyone who needs to hear this, every niche sells. Every message sells. Every truth of who you are and what you were brought to work on and to share with the world truly will sell. And I think people sometimes get in their way and they change too fast and don't give it those 3 to 6 months, because they suddenly start to feel defeated and go, oh, but what I'm doing is, it's so different. Like, there's not a tangible ROI, or I'm not running a business, I'm not a sales coach, and maybe it just won't work out for me. It's not going to be profitable. Let me change to something. Maybe there's a way to make my work applicable to business. Maybe I can also help people increase their sales as a tapper or something else. And they deviate from the truth of what it's really about. And very often I'll have sessions with clients where I'm bringing them back and they go, oh, this is so funny, because this is coming full circle to the original message I wanted to start my business with. And I thought it wasn't enough. I had a beautiful call with a woman yesterday who's a somatic healer. That's all she does, but she's been trying to niche in a way to tap into those, like, what people think might be more profitable niches, and it wasn't working. And I see it all so many times, just come back to the thing that's true. Let it be enough. Give it enough time. Have expert support in your corner. And that's the thing that usually takes off for someone when it's true.
As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important. And you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top tier security, and human only best in class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Aside from the niche, you've already hinted towards the fact that a lot of times a mistake done early on is you start actually targeting a sort of demographic that might not have the disposable income to be able to buy your product and services. They might not be the type of potential client that's even wanting to do the work. They kind of want it to happen magically. There's definitely a target market, which would probably be on the lower price point end, that you would find the same objections, you'd find the same resistance. And it's almost a false negative that would come out of just speaking to this target market when there's an entire different type of target market that are at a completely different price point, that for them, the value proposition is completely different. And what's interesting is when you get started, you feel like you don't even have the right to speak to that type of client because you might not have the experience to show to them. And you're kind of caught in between. You're like, oh my God, I need to start with the people that for a lower price point, but then they're not buying. I feel like I'm gated towards being able to sell to the people who have a lot more money, who could use my services. I feel stuck.
Yeah, I encounter this all the time. I was in that for a while before my business took off. What I would say to someone who's navigating that is it's a choice where you position yourself. Luckily, we're in an unregulated industry. Coaching's like the Wild West out here, and there's great things about that. And then there's kind of like terrifying things about it. But the good thing about it is there's no boss who's going to approve that you have enough experience or, you know, you can talk to certain people in the market. It's just a choice for you. I've worked with so many people who come right out of the gate. I had a friend who's great wisdom in the product and e-commerce space, had never coached before, never done consulting, came out of the gate. We did some work together and he's like, yeah, you know, I feel it's a $10,000 a month value. Like that's just the clients I'm going to work with. I'm not available for anything less. And guess who he was signing? $10,000 a month clients. It's just a decision. And truly, I think about it and visualize it like lanes on the highway where there's cars in the lane that are buying $500 courses. And then there's lanes that people are paying $5,000. And then the $50,000 lane. You truly just choose and then inform. It's like how in personal development, we inform how other people treat us and how they think of us and the respect that they show because we set certain boundaries or communicate or think about ourselves in a certain way. I'm sure all of our listeners are really good at that. And that applies to business too. You inform your audience through your messaging and through a lot of other aspects of your business strategy and choices, how to think of you and how to view you. And so you can do that and be a premium brand from day one. There's no barrier to that. Just here.
I love it. Now, when it comes to the delivery of the product, right? So you have to think about, well, what do I deliver? What do I package? Are there some key things that you help people understand? Okay, if I'm going to be delivering something at a high price point, high ticket, are there essential elements that need to be a part of that? Are there things I should be considering that I might not have considered if I was playing with low ticket?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes my clients will do funny things where they're like, okay, well, now we're going from $5,000 to $15,000. I must need to add a lot of stuff to this. And what I've seen personally in the 7 years I've been coaching people on this is a high ticket client, they don't want a lot of stuff. So this is kind of a misconception, a way that you might lower the value actually of your coaching by being like, I'll meet with you twice a week. We'll have nonstop Voxer access to each other. You'll be put in my mastermind. You're going to get all my courses. And you know, a high level person is often seeking very high level close knit mentorship with someone because they don't have a lot of time. They don't want to go through everybody's courses. They don't want to dig through. They want to get that laser focus. What's going to move the needle the fastest? That's just the type of person they are. I invest at a very high level because I'm like that. You probably are too. So we don't want to overload offers with stuff is key. You can provide less and have it actually be more. And you don't want to, I see a lot of people just selling the logistics and the process again of like, here's the components and here's what you're going to get and here's how much time you're going to get with me, which also then makes it difficult later on to segue into courses and passive products and taking yourself out of being the driver of the business. Because if you've taught and informed your audience to see the value of something based on how much time they get with you, you're going to be in golden handcuffs to your own business eventually. So we want to focus more on the outcomes, the takeaways, the accelerated path, the quick, like getting that VIP treatment to get the result that they're after as fast as possible. That's worth, like, we pay the money to save the time.
Yep. I find it's almost like a reaction of insecurity. It's like, I'm just going to throw everything at these people so that way I feel more secure about my offer. But you're right, that becomes overwhelming. And if you're dealing with someone that's a high performer at a high level, they don't have that much time. They just need the results. And so very, very important distinction to make there. Now, you did mention about doing some stuff around like having your courses, having things that can allow you to scale, not putting yourself in your own golden handcuffs. When you're at the beginning, do you suggest people to go into non-scalable activities first? Or do you see that, hey, there's a rapid path that you can do where you don't need to be doing one-on-ones? You can actually go straight for courses. I'd be curious to hear the opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm of the lineage. I feel like there's a lineage in coaching that, you know, we belong to that focuses on sell high ticket one-on-one, fill up your private practice, go for the top of market, go to the most committed clients, create the stability in your revenue. Because what I see a lot of people when they get stalled out, or I love what you said about the hockey stick, I call it the tipping point. There's this point where you're taking all these actions in your business and you don't really feel like you're going anywhere and you're not getting the response or making the money that you want. But eventually all those actions do add up. You get this tipping point and then it's like, wee, it's all flowing on the other side. Really, it does happen for everyone, but it might take longer to get there if you do things that sabotage that by putting your time and energy into, oh, I want to have a course right now, or maybe people aren't ready to buy $10,000 from me, so I'm going to sell a $97 thing or a $997 thing, or I'm going to have 10 group programs that all kind of do the same thing that my one-on-one does. So you cannibalize the value of your one-on-one, and then people are only buying these low-ticket things. Classic. I see this all the time. It might be advice that people have resistance to because they know eventually, well, I want to have more time freedom within my coaching business. I want to have things I can sell to make money in my sleep. All of that sounds so good, but we have to do it in the right order. And I'm a big order of operations strategist. So for every person coming in, I really want to understand the context of where they're coming at in business, what they've tried, who they're selling to now, what's working, and then go, are you selling the right thing at the right time to the right people? Because if you're trying to sell a mastermind because you want to scale, but you're not there yet, you don't have the brand recognition, or your audience isn't warm enough, or the message isn't refined enough, you're just going to get this sense of like, oh no, my launch didn't work and no one wants this for me. And maybe I should just go back to a job. When if you had just focused on selling your one-on-one for 3 to 6 months with these small tweaks over time, you will get there. You'll hit the tipping point. And then at the right moment, then you scale into one-to-many. And then from one-to-many, you can scale into taking something you've taught live and gotten live feedback on and gotten social proof. So it's an easy sell on a static page. And it's like a DIY thing that people can believe they'd get results from because you've tested it before. That's sort of the segue in the order of operations I teach.
I think I'd be in the same school of thought as you. And also if it's like, hey, nothing motivates you more to tell people to have to buy a group coaching than not actually being available, like that your time is actually not available and you don't need to create any kind of false scarcity. It's real scarcity. You got 24 hours. And, you know, I do feel that there's a different energy that you'll come across in a sale if you are sounding more desperate or you're sounding needy. And if you have a lot of time on your hands and none of that steady income coming from non-scalable activity, yeah, it doesn't put you in as much of an empowered position. So I would be in the same camp as you. And I do think that more getting in touch with the people, and like, to me, I'm a big proponent about you need to talk to people, not fill a survey and read data, like connect, talk, understand, build stories with people is like the key to actually getting closer to the messaging part as well. So I'm glad that this is the direction. And I think for a lot of people, this actually might simplify things a lot more because it feels overwhelming. You go into this space, like I mentioned at the beginning, is like there's 100 people that tell you 100 different ways of how to do things. If you were trying to get somebody to stop feeling so overwhelmed and paralyzed by choice and that they could just start moving one thing at a time, what are some of the first steps you suggest for people?
Yeah, number one, just kind of riff off of what we're talking about here. So many really smart early stage coaches or consultants who've made, let's say, less than $50,000 in their business, they don't realize, but they're looking to people who are over the tipping point in their business. They're looking at people who are doing seven figures and multiple seven figures, and they see Tony Robbins and Kelly Roach or like whatever big name coach they're into. And they're like, well, they're doing this. So if I want to be successful like them, then I should be doing those same things, not realizing that what you do from zero to 50, very different from 50 to 100 and 100 to 500 and 500 to a million. And what I do with eight-figure entrepreneurs, that's going to be a whole different conversation. And at the same time, I did say a lot of it is messaging and a lot of it is kind of readdressing and tweaking and refining things that are working at each of these stages. But yeah, to answer your question, I've seen a lot of clients brand new come in, fill up their private practices because they're focused on that. They go, okay, I'm putting blinders on. I'm not going to try to sell a bunch of different things. I'm not going to try to sell a $97 thing. I personally know from data and from my own experience, you can have a free thing and a high ticket thing. And if the free thing is really good and your messaging is good and you have the confidence to back the sale and you learn how to do the high ticket sales and you have the skill in that, you'll convert. So you need two products, free thing, high ticket thing. Fill that up first. Focus on your messaging. Tune out of a lot of people are asking, what platform should I be on? Oh, I want to have a podcast like Jason and Elena too. Like, when should I launch my podcast? And they start doing all this stuff that clutters their energy, their awareness, and then they're spending money on like paying someone to edit a podcast when they don't even have a full client roster and stuff like that. We want to do the focus on the profit-driving activities. Also, a lot of our listeners might be these amazing, big-hearted people who are like, I just want to be accessible to people, so I also want to have something that people can buy that's lower ticket. And I tell these people, I love you, and you are going to reach more people and be more accessible later on in your career when you exist later on, because you didn't go out of business because you burned out trying to do the low ticket strategy, selling to the bottom of the market, sell to the top of the market, stabilize yourself, sell that one good offer. And then later on, you know, I have a book, I have podcasts, I do a ton of free things just because it's fun from overflow. You can't do those things from overflow. Like you said, if your energy is desperate and needy because you don't have enough clients in the core of your business, take the year, 2 years, stabilize yourself, and then you'll have more resources to pay someone to help you be accessible to other people.
Amen to that. Elena, honestly, this is so much like necessary message that needs to be reinforced. And this is, you know, the big intention around why I host this podcast. And I'm hoping for everybody listening, this is really simplifying it down so that you can take that necessary action. I'm going to make sure in the show notes, we're going to have a lot of links for some freebies, some more you can explore. If you look at Elena's website, elenaray.com, I just love how the whole layout is set up. It's very simple to access the resources you want. You can see there are free gifts. You can see there are some masterminds. You can see there's some coaching. You can go and explore what's right for you. I kind of wanted to ask a question that's on the side of faith, because going into entrepreneurship, you know, there's a lot of unknown. There's some things that are, you're not going to know 100% whatever you do is going to work. There's an element of faith that you need to have into what you're doing, faith in yourself, faith in what you're doing. And I'd be curious to know, how much has faith, you know, been a key part in helping you go into this direction, scale to the next goal as you're on the path of entrepreneurship?
Yes, I think very often people are seeking answers or strategies to, well, I'm having inconsistent income, or things are really up and down, or I've had a great launch, or this offer sold for a while and then it's not selling anymore, and doubts that come up just in this, you know, in the ocean of entrepreneurship. So number one, I always have said that when I structure, I focus on strategy. I'm very much a strategist. And when I focus on these good actions and mastering these types of skills, it feels like I'm a cruise ship on the ocean. And when you don't have these skills and you don't invest in mastery and you think you can just figure it out on your own, you'll feel like a paddleboard out there. And that's a lot scarier. But I also say there's no way to avoid the waves and the ups and downs. And it's just something we really have to accept, that we're choosing an uncommon calling. We're choosing an uncommon path in life that has uncommon freedom, uncommon limitless financial potential. I never expected to be a multimillionaire at 35. I call myself like semi-retired because it's like I don't have to work, but like I get to. And that's, wow, what a gift. And I know that a lot of people aspire to that, but a lot of people shy away from the risks I've taken. And I got into real estate in a really crazy way. I've done some wild moves, but I think we have to really humble ourselves. And that's part of the faith of going, we can't take for granted that we get to be entrepreneurs or that we get to run our own businesses. I have known people over the years who had a few good years and then they went back to the workforce because it just didn't pan out. They weren't consistent enough. They didn't take that mastery seriously. I think I'm very humble and know that like at any point, things can change for anyone. And we're accepting that. We're accepting the risks and the ocean of it all and be willing to do uncommon things when you want this uncommon life. Like you live in Bali, you've got such an amazing lifestyle. I've lived there as well, gotten to travel to 73 countries, but I've done some uncommon stuff. And this is just a random tidbit too. I'm teaching a personal finance course right now for entrepreneurs. And this morning we were talking about all these uncommon facts about millionaires. And people think, oh, if you're a millionaire, it must be like you hit it big once, you know, that app took off or that big launch or that person got the visibility. And in this one amazing study of 10,000 millionaires, only like a third of them ever made over $100,000 per year in their life. So just to like kind of share that fact and wrap up on this note of some people are really focused out there on social media and Instagram of how can I make this super high revenue and climb these big numbers and explode and go quantum. And often it's, if you can do six figures and do it steadily over a long period of time, you will guaranteed be a multimillionaire if you invest properly and manage your money correctly. And it's often these little steps that we make consistently and do uncommon things, like actually live below our means, even when our businesses are doing really well, and understand compound interest and investing and stewarding what we are receiving very well. That makes us wealthy too. It's not chasing to these extremes.
I think that is a very worthy message and reminder for everyone, especially in the times, you know, I don't know the exact date that this is being released, but I think it's quite soon. So we are early in 2025. I think being responsible and stewardship, I think that's the key word that you said that really resonates, which is like, be steward for your business, be steward for your money, and then see how when you show care and attention, just like any relationship, it'll grow, it'll be respected, and it'll have more of it come towards you. Elena, it was a conversation that I absolutely enjoyed. Thank you for your time. I won't let you go before one question I do ask all my guests, which is, you are on the Selling with Love podcast. So I have to ask, what does selling with love mean to you?
I think it goes to that point of how do you make someone feel when they read your website, your content, if they're on a sales call with you? Are you using tactics or strategies or, you know, things you innocently pick up from, you know, people who teach this stuff, but that would make someone feel less than, and then they need your product in order to fill this hole in themselves? Or do you know that you can sell and market and position a product that does fill in a gap and it does meet a need in someone, but that shows them like, hey, you're so capable and it's an honor to work with you. And I truly feel that with my clients. I feel very humbled by the people who choose to work with me. You know, some of the names and stuff on my sales pages, like for people who are household names now, I'm like, wow, I can't believe that that person chose to be in my space. And we have that kind of humility and we really see people in their highest light. That's selling with love. We don't have to make anyone feel like they won't be enough if they don't choose us or, you know, join our program to win in this industry. It's better if we don't make them feel that way.
Elena, that is the ethos of what we're trying to promote here. So thank you for all that you do. Great sharing for this conversation. So thank you so much. For everybody tuning in, if you've enjoyed this conversation, you want to go deeper into Elena's information. She shares so much online at various price points, has free stuff, has some paid events, has some amazing coaching and mastermind. So go to elenaray.com. We'll put a link in the show notes. You guys can go dig deeper. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Please go out there, go and cross that million, serve people in the process, do the steps, keep it simple, and have fun doing it as well. Take care, everyone. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.